This morning, I want to take this time to talk to you about something that's I've been searching the word in the past week, 2 weeks, the past 2 weeks. I would challenge you guys to go and read Exodus. So I don't really give homework, you know. But if I could give you a homework, I'd say, go and read the book of Exodus. Read Exodus. Read the whole book. Take notes or listen to it. But spend some time in the book of Exodus. I've been reading the book of Exodus. You know, we are not the Israelite people, you know, but we've been chosen under the new covenant through the blood, you know. Just like I wasn't born an American, I became an American citizen through paper. You know, I went through a bunch of stuff, so now I'm an American citizen, all right? I've been adopted. We've been grafted into the kingdom family. So we are God's people, you know? But listen to this. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 26, this is what Moses said. Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levites gathered themselves together to him. As you do life on your daily basis, whatever you find yourself doing, I want today for every one of us to think of this. Whose camp am I in? Am I on God's side? Or am I on the devil's side? And I can assume none of you here wants to be on the devil's side. But, can a stream of water give salty water and dirty water at the same time? No. Can I curse God and bless God at the same time? Help me out. I can't. That's why I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. You know, I'm saying, can I? Because you know that's right. I can't be salt and light at the same time. I can't be salt and fresh water at the same time. I can't be darkness and at the same time be light. Or I can't have one foot in the world and another foot in the kingdom. Impossible. And I believe more than ever, when I studied the Bible, this is a recurring theme all throughout the Word. Whose side on you? Come on, John the Baptist came. Mark chapter 1, he said what? Repent. Why? He's saying, guys, you know ecclesia, the word ecclesia from the Greek means coming out of. Get out of. I was in Haiti. Now I'm not in Haiti anymore. I am in Virginia Beach. But let me tell you this. How miserable it is to live in Virginia Beach when my mind is constantly being in Haiti. Maybe you've never moved. You've never left your life. Everything you know, your dreams, and all of a sudden, I was a refugee, okay? You know, refugee is not a bad word. You could forcefully be a refugee, or you could choose to be a refugee. Like for me, I choose to be a refugee. But the worst thing is when you move from one place to another place, but your present place, you can't see the beauty because your mind is still there. Can I have a witness? Huh? Guys, listen to me. Listen to me. What's happening right now in the world? We need to stop being, I've said it many times, we need to stop being church-minded. and start really operating, living our life from a kingdom-minded. 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 My life was very miserable. I mean, some of you knows me the first couple years, how the weather killed me, the cold weather. The cold weather killed me. I was depressed. I never knew. I always heard people talk about depression. I mean, I was like, what's depression? Until I moved here. And then winter, everything is gray. There's no color. I literally, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit and my wife and you know, you guys, you know, how many times I vent about how much I hate the weather. You know, you guys, some of you were a little afraid for me that I wouldn't survive. You know. But the Lord opened my eyes. See, my eyes got opened up in a way I realized, man, this is where I'm planted. This is where I'm at. So therefore, I cannot live, I cannot explore, I cannot enjoy Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Norfolk, the Hampton Road, Tiwada area. I can never explore it, enjoy it with my head being in the West Indies. Impossible. And the Lord opened my eyes. I repent. I could not have one foot in Haiti and one foot in Virginia Beach. Now, am I still effective there? Yeah, I teach on Zoom. I teach at our school. I still talk to our guys. But there's a shift that happened. That's why the Bible says, you live in the world, but you're not part of it. You live in the world, so my mind is not, it's like I operate totally differently. Totally different. Moses said, get out of them. You know what we're talking about now? This is a subject that could be very offensive. But let me remind you again, the Bible is very offensive. If you read it, you'll find the Word of God is super offensive. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Put that on the screen for me. The Word of God is super offensive. That's why I'm going to remind you again. You must read the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, you're a dead Christian. I mean, I don't know if hopefully you're a Christian, but you're a dead believer. If you're not reading the Bible, you're dead. You're weak. 2 Timothy 3:16. Open it in your Bible. If you don't have it, we're going to have it on the screen. The call to side with God or the world. It says all scripture is God's breath, right? And useful. You have it? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. And all the scripture also is useful to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. The same scripture corrects us when we are wrong. Verse 16 and 17. Give me verse. And teaches us to do what is right. And verse 17. And says God uses it. Uses what? The scripture. God uses the Bible to prepare and equip. That's why when you come, when we gather, when I teach, I preach, you know, or we worship, all that is to equip and to prepare you. Yes. Guys, when you come to be equipped, to be prepared. That's why we go to school, right? We go to school to be equipped, to be prepared, so we could go out there and do a job, right? Equip, prepare his people to do every good work. And I'll tell you, this verse, it's a verse you must know. Underline in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 32, let's go back there. When Moses saw that the people were unrestrained because I'm going to pick on Aaron again. Aaron, I'm so sorry, man. Where is he? Okay, that's good. He's in the kitchen. That's good. He's out there. Exodus talks a lot about, but Aaron turned out to be okay. I'm glad our Aaron is not like that. Because I know Aaron, he's a cool dude, he's a good dude. But this Aaron was terrible. He was a weak leader. You see, when we, if God calls you to be in the position of leadership and you are afraid of the people, you will disobey God. That's what happened to Aaron. Because it says the people were unrestrained. My goodness. There is no greater danger for any nation to cast off all restraint. There is no greater danger for any people, anybody, to be thinking, well, I can do whatever I want. Where there is no law. When I say law and order, I'm not talking about political whatever. I'm talking about there's no principle. It's a very dangerous place to be, to live a life unrestrained. I can do whatever I please. In Judges chapter 17, you don't have to go there. There's a great story where the king was the people had no king. They had no rulers. And that verse says, the people think, well, you know what? We can do whatever we please. Whatever I want. Let me tell you, if Jesus is your Lord, you can do whatever you want. If He's truly your God, the moment you bend your knees, you confess with your mouth, you open your heart, you say, Jesus, I choose you as my Lord, I'm not my own anymore. That's why I can just go anywhere I want. I can't do that. That's why I can drink anything I want to. Oh, yeah. That's why I can't eat anything I want to because I'm not my own. That's why I can't wear anything I want. That's why, there's a verse here in Judges where God says, write those things. Actually, it's in Deuteronomy. It says, write those things down. Put them on your doorpost. Put them on your forehead. The commandment I'm giving you, if you choose to get a tattoo, I'll never get a tattoo, okay? Cause I like my skin. But if, that's my personal conviction. But if, listen to this, if I would choose to get a tattoo, I'll get a tattoo that says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your might. If I would decide to get a tattoo, that's probably the only thing. Now remember, I know that's talking about tattoos, piercing, that's a very touchy subject. Please, get what I'm saying. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's your body. You do whatever you please with it. Okay? There's nobody that should come out saying, if you do this, if you do that, you're sinning. No, you should know. If you're a person of the Spirit, you should know. So, okay, let me make that clear. So nobody think, well, I'm talking about tattoo, whatever. Because those things are very touchy subjects and people misunderstand, and that's not what I'm saying. But there's a verse in Deuteronomy where God says, write those laws I'm giving you. You must love. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Because that's what happened to the people. In Exodus chapter 32, they become unrestrained because they stop fearing God. Back in the 90s, there was a big shot preacher. He fell. I don't want to mention his name, but he fell and he came back. He fell, just misusing church funds and sexually, do crazy things. So he got arrested and he went to jail. And he was in jail for a number of years. And then one of his spiritual sons was struggling with that. He's like, man, how can, my spiritual father, how can you do that? Just like some stuff we hear out there. You're like, man, how can somebody do this and that? And then he went to the prison and had the courage to ask his spiritual father. He asked the guy, he's like, when did you stop loving God? Right, we love Jesus, right? But let me tell you this, the love of God will not keep you from evil. It's the fear of God that will keep you from evil. All of us say we love God, but do I fear Him? There's certain things I won't do, not because I am my wife. Oh, there's certain things I'm not going to do, it not because I'm a pastor. Oh, no. Screw this. Pastor. I won't do it because, man, I fear God. Yeah, man. It's like I want to live a life when the trumpet sound or the Lord calls me home, I want Him to say, good and faithful servant. That's it. That's it. That's my perspective. That's what keeps me. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is knowledge applied. A wise person is a person who knows they're not supposed to jump off the roof. You know, young kids, they think they can just jump off the roof and then they break a neck or break a back or whatever. When you know what you mustn't do, you don't do it and you become wise. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, listen to this. Read it for me. All everybody who find it. Hear, O. But now, let's put your name. Put your name here. Hear, O Ricardo. Okay? The Lord our God. Verse 5, you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. So now, listen to this. You know the word strength, some other manuscript or some other translation would say, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Help me out. Come on. All your soul and all your might. That's it. This is the word I'm looking for. Listen to this. The Hebrew word for the word strength, might, I like that, might, is me'od, which means muchness. 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 Have you ever talked to somebody or you had a friend or it's them or you, they say, man, you're too much. I want people to know me as too much for Jesus. I want it says, you must love the Lord your God with, listen, I want you to know me as someone who is much for Jesus. I am really much for Him. I am passionate. I love Him. So because I am passionate, I'm going to do everything I can, even if I have to take the blame to preserve relationship. You see? Because when we become religious, it's more about following the laws than experiencing God. But I want to be known as someone who loves the Lord with so much, muchness. I got to find that word. I wrote it down. Beside muchness, there's another word in English I really like. Let me find it. I got to say it. Thank you, Lord. I got to find it. It says might. Maybe I won't find it, but I have to. It says, oh yeah, I find it. It says exceedingly. Exceedingly abundant, up to abundance. How do you say that? Exceedingly. Man, I want to know. I want to be exceedingly. I just add this into my vocabulary because I'm studying the Hebrew, you know? It's like, and the Hebrew is just going deeper and deeper. It's like, oh, exceedingly. That sounds cool, exceedingly. I want to be known as someone who is so much. I want people to say, man, you're so much. But when they look at me, they're going to be like, you know how I'm so much? I'm so much in love. I love you till you die. I love you in your mess. Your reaction is not going to change the way I love you. Your response to my love is not going to change the way I behave with you. Because when I look at Jesus, I see Jesus did the same thing. I'm like, this morning I'm driving to church. I'm like, Jesus, man, how did you deal with Judas? Seriously. I'm like, Lord, how did you do? I mean, Jesus, you knew Judas was Judas. And man, Lord, you didn't cut him off. Oh, Lord, I said, please give me the heart. Let me be known as so much exceedingly. Love you so much that if people are going to throw me away, they're going to throw me away like someone who's so much for Jesus. Not religious. Because when you're religious, you become stiff. When you're religious, when people are not doing 1, 2, 3, you want to cut them off. But when you are so much in love for Jesus, when everybody is like, man, I don't hear from God. But what did God tell the Israelites? He actually delivered them. Can you imagine? He took them out of Egypt. And then Moses, the priest, went to the mountain to encounter, to listen to God for them. But the people, oh man, God's telling me, be aware of the people. Don't look at the people. Because Aaron, you know what he did? He listened to the people. I'm not here to listen to you. I'm here to listen to God and challenge you and call you up. When I'm calling you up, if you obey the Lord, you're going to love me. But if you're not obeying the Lord, you will hate me. You know, the Pharisees, they best persecuted Jesus. They didn't want to see Jesus. They, as a matter of fact, they wanted to kill him because they thought Jesus was muchness, too much. They call him, man, they said, this guy, you crazy. You're possessed with Beelzebul, the king of trash. The king of flies. Muchness. God wants you to be so much for him. He wants you to be set apart. He wants you to be set apart. That's why I don't go to certain concerts. I don't go to wild parties. I set myself apart. Because if I have an unbelieving friend, I bet you they won't come to my home group. It's like the world, they set apart. They know. The world knows. The world, it's like, oh yeah, we can go and drink together. We can go and party together. We can go and whatever, Halloween party, whatever else we do together. But you do your church, but then you come join me in my mess. God's calling us to be set apart. He's calling you to be set apart. And I tell you, Jesus is coming back. One of the reasons the church is so weak, it's because we have a bunch of people in the church. They don't want to pay the price. They don't want, we want to love everybody. You know, we want to be kind. Yes, you must be kind. You must support, accept where they at. But I am set apart. Certain things, man, I love you, but I can't go with you. I'm not saying you not go to birthday parties, celebration. That's not what I'm talking about. I know who I am. And you must know who you are. And God is calling you. The call is to side with God or the world. As for me in Restoration Church, we will side with God. And I pray, all of you, that's what you want to. I pray that's your desire to side with God. Because at the end of the day, the world will throw you away. The world, I mean, it's like the world does this. You know, when you do juice with oranges, that's what the world does. It takes you, cuts you open, squeezes you. Grab a knife or a fork or a spoon and scrape. And then praise God for our Redeemer. He took that pill and he renewed it, restored it, give you new life, give you new breath. You know, he breathed into it. I believe this is a time for the church to live a life set apart. This is a time for the church, and I'm calling you up. I'm calling you to live a life set apart. Don't be like the people in the ancient days. Don't be like our generation. They think they can do everything they want. If Jesus is your Lord, you can't do everything you want. I can't even love the way I want. You know the way I want to love? I want to get people to pay for what they do. I want my love. I'm telling you, I'm honest. Just telling you. When somebody screwed up, I want them to pay. You see my face? Yeah. I want to do an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's what I want to do. But Jesus is in the driver's seat. You see what I'm telling you right now? It's not religion. It's a relationship. It's that relationship that's just like... It's like, I'm not living anymore. I have my cross on. Therefore, I'm going to Golgotha, right? I'm dying to myself. Man, I died to myself. I had a crazy encounter the other day. It's my dad's birthday. My dad is not a person to love easily. Because he's 76. He's stubborn, selfish, still can admit he's wrong. But among all of us, I'm the only one, because I'm encountering Jesus, I'm the only one who choose to forgive him. But sometimes I just want to don't talk to him. But then my conscience says, no, you cannot not talk to your father. Because he's your father, so you should call him sometimes. So it was his birthday. I kind of forgot. And then my wife says, you know, today's dad's birthday. Let's call him. So I called him. Guys, I call my dad. And right away, the guy got under my skin. I do have a skin too, you know. But then it's like I had my self-control. I know. I just taught on Mark, where it talks about children, honor your parents. I'm like, okay, I'm going to honor this guy, not because he deserves it, he's a good person, but because he's my father. And that's what the word says. And then he's complaining about him being in New York, being miserable, and it's just telling me all these things. And I said, well, that's what I was telling you. I was telling you, you're like 75, I mean 70, at 70, why would you move to New York when you're in the West Indies island? I mean, I said, I've got a house, one of my favorite spots. I've got a house in the southeastern with the Caribbean Ocean, mountains surrounding me. I said, won't you move there? He says, I won't move in the boonies. Because he wanted to move to Brooklyn. But now he's having a different experience. And he's got nobody else. Because all of my other siblings won't talk to him. Because I have another brother talking to him. Everybody else disowned him. And then so here I am. Guys, I took 5 minutes to really give it to him. I did. And while I'm giving it to him, the Holy Spirit's like, come on, no, you can't do that. That's dishonoring him. You must live a life filled with the Spirit. Because when you live a life filled with the Spirit, you won't accomplish the desire of your flesh. See, if you're living by the flesh, you're either living by the flesh or you're living by the Spirit. And the more you live by the Spirit, more life you will experience. Oh, man, I tell you, I have life. I do. I am happy. I've got the joy down in my heart, even when I'm tired. Yeah, because my source is not from here. And right away, I change my attitude, and I begin to just thinking of ways to help him. Now, who does that? Not Ricardo. Believe me, it's not me. If you really know me, ask Kendra. You know, some of you don't. You're meeting. I go to Jesus. I say, Jesus, you rub on me. Please rub on me. Because I really need you to show up right now. And he rub on me, and then you experience me. If you really experience Ricardo, I wouldn't like you. You wouldn't like me. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. That's what the world needs. And that's why Jesus is calling us right now. He's like, which side are you? Are you on God's side? Or are you on the world's side? What difference would it make for me to treat my father like this and come here and preach to you a good sermon? Would you know this? You wouldn't, but God would. And there is a result that I need in my life. You know what God really cares about? He cares about me. He cares about my relationship with Him. He doesn't care about me singing, playing, I'm having fun, worshiping. No, God cares about a heart-to-heart connection. That's why it says, you must love the Lord your God with so much. I want you to say, man, you much. I haven't heard before, but maybe you think of it. But I am much. I want to be much. Because when I studied the Bible, it says, unless I'm much, and you know, it doesn't stop there. There's, when you go deeper in that study, it says, it goes, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 11, it says, the kingdom of God is forceful. Only people with the same Greek word, me'ad, who are forceful, would get into it. You see, unless you're passionate for the kingdom, you won't make it. Now, I was talking to Dan yesterday. I've got a couple of my pastor friends that I prayed for them. They're giving out. They've given up. One of them said, you know what? I'm tired of people. I'm just tired of people. It's like, you know, I'm just going to work. I'm going to find a church. But I'm done. I'm not going to say what's wrong with that. That's his life. And I pray. I said, well, what was God's assignment? You know what we do, Kendra and I do, when we feel like that? We do feel like that. We go and listen to what the Lord said. And we ask ourselves, has the Lord changed the assignment? And then, and when we answer our own question, no, he didn't answer it. He didn't change the assignment. So then we're like, Lord, please give us grace. Give us grace. So then go to Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to finish with this. What side are you in? Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 11. It says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. What has been revealed? The grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Even right now, if people are not receiving or accepting God's grace, His grace is still available. I love that name you give that kid, your Erica Mala. Grace. The grace of God has been revealed to who? All people. Remember that. Verse 12. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures, we should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will reveal. He gives His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people. Total. Let's underline this in the Bible. It's like, this is like, I love it. It says, totally committed. You know what totally committed is? Kendra told me that. I think I shared this before. You know, we men, we've got this defense mechanism. When our wives or somebody is talking to us and we're doing something, you know, you're doing something on the computer and she's over there talking and we've got this defense mechanism, uh-huh. You know, they're talking, you say, uh-huh. Are you listening? Not really. Yeah, uh-huh. But then I get in trouble if she says, what did I say? Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, what was... Sorry. I wasn't giving her total attention. How many times do you do that to God? That's what it says here. Total attention. Totally committed. Totally committed. My brothers and sisters, there's a great invitation to us this morning to go deeper. Totally committed to Him. The grace, that grace enables you to live a life of godliness. It's the grace of God. You see, when you understand God's grace, you understand, man, what a freedom it is for me to choose righteousness. I choose righteousness. You know, I wasn't planning to teach or preach this again, but the more I'm really thinking about it, I want to stop, but there's another story in the Bible. It's Daniel, those three guys. They moved from their country to a pagan, godless community. But I like the verse in chapter 1. It says, Daniel made the decision to not be defiled. That's the call. The call for you. Do not let the world corrupt you. Which side are you on? Are you on God's side or are you on the world's side? You can't be both. You can't be both. You can't be a heathen or a Christian. It's impossible. You can't be all week long. That's what the law did, right? God gave the Sabbath, that one day where people could clean their act, come to him. And then Monday, you know, from Sunday to Friday again, they could do whatever they want. They didn't get the Sabbath. But Jesus came, he's like, guys, time to cease striving is today. I create a day today for you to make a choice. Today, choose. Choose life. Anybody here? Anybody here? Anybody here? So if you have ears to listen, to understand, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let's take some time to respond to God's word. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Oh, Holy Spirit, we really need you. What has the Lord been saying? Last Aaron and Aaron, and then come join me. I just want to create an atmosphere, a moment for you to respond to God's word this morning. What is the Holy Spirit is saying? Which area in your life this morning you need to repent? Remember, the altar is a safe place. So there's a call this morning for you to make a choice. Listen to me, if you don't have any conviction, the world will tell you what to believe. If you don't have your own personal conviction, the world will tell you how to be. If you don't know how to be by the word of God, the word will tell you, the world will tell you. Let's respond to the word of the Lord. Come to the altar. If anybody needs prayer, come to the altar. Repent. Make things right. My brothers and sisters, make things right. Maybe you feel like you're in a desert. You're just in a season of dryness. And you want the Lord to touch you and rekindle the muchness. Rekindle the muchness. Oh Lord, make us more exceedingly muchness.